Love it. Open in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Nehemiah. I know we've been on this for a couple of weeks. I've still got some things to say that I know the Lord has laid upon my heart. And before I get into that, I just want to say thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your generosity. It's one of the hardest parts of ministry for me. Because I came not to be served, but I came to serve. And it's just difficult for me. But thank you. Thank you very, very much. And I know I speak for the other guys also, but I'll let them speak for themselves. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, let's start rebuilding. So they began this good work. For several weeks now, we've looked at this. And we understand that you and I, as we make up the church, we are a gate to God. The Lord uses us to witness, to minister, and people can make their way through God, to God, through some of the things that we minister and we say. We know that Bethel means the house of God. And in Genesis chapter 28, verses 12 through 17, the story about Jacob having a dream when he was running from his brother. And in the dream, he saw the stairway going all the way up to heaven, the bottom of it resting on earth, and the top literally going to heaven. And he made this proclamation that this is none other than the house of God. So he called the name of the place El Bethel, or Bethel, which means this is the house of God. But he made a continuing proclamation. He said, this is the gate of heaven. So the church, which is made up by people, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about those that become a part of the church, and the church universal, which takes in many denominations and many churches around the world. That invisible church, the true church, they make up that gate. When the gates are burned, then that avenue is taken away. Protection is taken away. Blessing is removed. There's areas of your life that are gateways for entrance and exits. What in your life needs to be rebuilt? What part of your life needs to be repaired because Satan has attacked? Maybe Satan has even burned. And you know, there's people that won't even come to church because they've got burned. They've got hurt. Somebody took advantage of them. That's a gate that's been destroyed in their life. You and I need to open the gates wide. Let them be rebuilt. Let them be repaired so that God can move in us and we can become what He intended us to be. So our first thing that we covered was the gate. That was point number one. Then point number two was the power. The power to get all of this done. The power of the Holy Spirit driving Satan back. And that's one of the things that you and I are to do. We're to use the power of the Holy Spirit, letting God be born through us, the kingdom of God being born through us as a restraint on Satan and his power. We know that that power that God has given us is greater than the power that Satan has. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So you and I are to be overcomers. And we are to be a restraining on the very hand of Satan. It's not enough just to have a church. It's not enough just to come together and have a few minutes of worship and a word and then go home and forget about everything else. You and I need to be active in the kingdom of God every day. And we can't be active in the kingdom of God if the kingdom of God is not a part of us. And it is. I talked in closing last week, week before last. Thanks to Jason for the last week. Excellent, excellent message and service. But I talked about how Jesus didn't go directly from the streets to Calvary. He went through Gethsemane. And that's important because Gethsemane has a meaning. It's Geth, the first part of Gethsemane. The Geth means the place of crushing. There was a crushing that took place. Usually you crush something so that the insides can be exposed. You and I go through a crushing time so that what is in us will be exposed. And if the kingdom of God is down inside of us, that's what's exposed to the world. The last part of that is semine, or it means the Holy Spirit or the seed of God. So there's a crushing so that the Holy Spirit can be seen. The seed of God can come out of us. That kingdom property that's down inside of us. So that brings us to point three, where I'm going to take up today. Point three is the problem. So we've talked about the gate. We've spoken about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we need to look at the problem. If we're not aware of the crisis, then we'll never see the problem. We see that Nehemiah in chapter 2 was making the people aware of what was going on. Then I said to them in verse 17, you see the trouble we're in. They needed to become aware that there's a crisis going on. The man of God that was standing before them, Nehemiah, he was not what you would call a positive thinking preacher. He wasn't a feel-good preacher. He wasn't there to tickle their ears. He was there making a point. You see the problem that we're in. And then he enumerated on that problem. He says the walls are torn down. The gates have been burned. There's a breach. There's a lack. He began to make them very aware of what was going on. He was not playing games. He says, let's not ignore it because it's not going to go away. You know, I've heard it preached. If you'll just ignore your problems, they'll go away. No, they won't. People try to do that with alcohol or a lot of other things, but I don't understand that. People say, I'm drinking to forget my problems. Man, when you wake up, you got enumerated problems because not only do you have a hangover, but your problems are still there. He was making them aware. You see the trouble that we are in. He put his finger right on the problem. With no cooperation, there can be no progress. Without seeing the problem, there'll be no cooperation because there's nothing to cooperate with. If you don't recognize the crisis, you will never recognize the cure. We've gone through a theology that's told us never confess that you're sick. That's tough. I confess that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, the sickness that I've got. And I lay that down before the Lord. I say, God, I've got this problem. I've got this sickness. I've got this crisis, and I need your help. And I apply the stripes that Jesus bore upon his back by faith. That's kind of what Nehemiah was doing. He was laying it out. It does not matter necessarily the thing that you say, it's the power source that's behind what you're saying. That faith source. Where is your faith? What have you put your faith in? Your mere words will not change the situation. It's the faith that's behind those words. So when I make confession, I do so according to the word, because the word never comes back void. I do so in the power of the kingdom of God, because that is the ruling force upon the face of the earth. It would have been nice if I could deny my cancer and it would have gone away. I could deny my cancer because I have the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Nehemiah said, we've got a problem. We're in trouble. And I want you to see the trouble that we're in. The church has a problem. Not just this church, churches around the world and across the nation. There's a problem. We're not walking in the Spirit the way that God wants us to walk. We're not using His Word. We're wanting to feel good. And we judge our services by, do I feel better? Did it lift me up? Did it make me feel good about me? That's not why we're here. We're here to spread the kingdom of God. You shall become witnesses for me. That's what we're doing here. Nehemiah stood before the people and he said in verse 17, Jerusalem lies in waste and the gates have been burned with fire. That word trouble that he pointed to. Look it up. It's a Hebrew word. It means rah, or it says rah. One of the meanings of that word is inferiority to the enemy. Nehemiah was saying to the people, we're in big trouble because we're inferior to the enemy. When your walls are down and your gates have been burned, and the avenues of God moving in and out, when they've been destroyed, you're in trouble because you're inferior to the enemy. That resistance becomes less and it starts to break down. So we established that gate, the word gate, means an opening for true ministry. An opening to pass through. If there's no gate, then Satan rules the city. Because there's no restraint. There's no stopping him. In case you hadn't noticed, the world's not beating down our doors trying to get saved. The world is going crazy. Have you watched the news lately? The world in which we live is going crazy. Isn't that what Paul said was going to happen? Men shall wax worse and worse. And trouble will abound. The murder rate, the drug use, the robberies, the rapes, the mass shootings. They have become absolutely common. They're increasing at an alarming rate. Why? There's no restraint. Nothing is holding it back. The worship of Satan, the things of the world, the flesh, it's spilling out of those hidden rooms. It used to be behind closed doors, but not any longer. Now it's rampant on our streets, on our television, in our communication systems. It's flooding into our schools through the curriculum. Even in the lower grade levels. It used to be just colleges. But now it's in high school and elementary even. There's an anti-God movement that is in full force. It's okay to study Muhammad, but not Jesus. It's okay to read out of the Quran, but not the Bible. It's okay to say God, as long as it's that universal feel good. Where you got flowers in your hair and you're running through the meadows. It becomes my God. Ah. Sometimes I want to puke. Sorry about that. Satan and his power is spreading full force. God's people are becoming afraid. We're afraid to say that we're Christians. Some are afraid to say that they're believers, Jesus followers. Because the anti-God movement will come at you so strong, they'll get in your face. Let me tell you something. The gates of ministry, the gates of the power of the Holy Spirit, the gates of the love of Christ must be rebuilt so that God can pour himself into this place. And from this place it will spill and pour out on a hungry, thirsty society. People are looking for the real. They really are. If this cannot be done in spite of the hindrances, then Satan and his horde of hell will literally have won. They will continue to increase in power and influence across the nation. The gates are down. They've been burned. There's no restraint. There's no prayer going up from prayer warriors. There's no word going out from the pulpits across our nation. More preachers are telling stories than preaching the word. They're getting little catchphrases. And people are responding to them. You go back and listen to some of those old preachers. I know they're old fashioned. Yeah, they old fashioned. They put it down like it belongs. Son, they'll cut you off at the knees. There's some of them when they preach, I don't feel saved. Sometimes at general counsel, not as much now as it used to be, but we'd go to general counsel, and by the time the preacher finished, I knew I wasn't saved. I needed to go to the altar. And I was repenting. I was doing everything I could. They were preaching the word, and the word penetrates. The word is sharp, and it'll cut asunder even the soul and the spirit. That word is an everlasting word, and it will never pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away, he said. You and I don't have to be smart nor talented. We don't even have to be overly spiritual to be aware of this. All we have to do is just look around. All that needs to be done is open our eyes and let the Holy Spirit minister inside of us. We'll see that the need is there. And once we see the need, then we can go on and meet that need head on. You see the situation that we're in. And the people probably looked around. They had become used to walking past crumbled walls. Every day they got up. They went about their business. The gate, the burn gates were pushed over to the side. The walls were down. They didn't pay any attention. It's the old frog in the kettle thing. When the heat is turned up just a little, we get used to it until we're cooked. That's what was going on there. What about point four, the pressure? I probably won't get to finish this one. But we see what the problem is. So what's the pressure? If there's no gates for ministry to flow through, then Satan holds the territory. The enemy is free to come and go as he pleases. His demons, his principalities, his powers, his rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places, according to Ephesians 6 and 12. These beings will have total control over the city. Whether we know it or not, there's a battle going on right now over Rock Hill. There's a battle going on right now over this church. Do you believe me whenever I say that there's demonic spirits that have the assignment to disrupt what's going on in this church? But not just this one, every church in this community. And there's principalities and powers that are over them, that are over the city. You say, you're getting spooky, preacher. Well, it's Halloween time. They are everywhere. Satan has given them assignments. You disrupt. You cause havoc. You cause unbelief. You stop what they're doing. And that they're going out. You don't believe me? Read Daniel. Daniel prayed. Took 21 days. And suddenly there was an angel. And he said, I'd have got here sooner, but I was resisted by the principalities and the powers of the air, that ruler. Is that going on? Yeah. Is it happening now? Yes. Read Ephesians chapter 6. You'll see that it's there. The Bible says that they're there, and there is only one thing that can control them. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's only one thing that has enough power to literally push the enemy back. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I must know that for the power of the Holy Spirit to have freedom to operate in this land, there must be a gate that it can pass through. There must be a people who will stand up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord God. There must be a group, a gate, a church through which God can move and pour himself out on those that have needs. You and I believe with all of my heart, we are planted where we are planted to become the gateway to this area, that we might be the vessel, that we might be the instrument through which God can pour himself. And once that begins, then we will not be inferior anymore to the enemy, but we'll rise up and be strong in the Lord and able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ask or think he can do through us. There must be a gateway through which the Holy Spirit can move, or we will continue and remain inferior to the enemy. How do I become that? When we worship, when we praise, when we pray, when we seek God, down inside of us, those strongholds are broken. But there's something even greater than that. There's a repairing. And those gates that have been burned and those walls that have been crumbled begin to build back up. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can become a vessel that he can once again use and pour himself through. You and I, we do not have the power by ourselves. We must be full of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was about ready to go back, he walked to his disciples. And the Bible says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he gave them directions. You go and tarry. Go to the upper room. And you stay there until you're endued with power. And then you'll be unleashed on the city. And we know that those 120 locked themselves in, and they stayed there until the Holy Spirit fell. And whenever the Holy Spirit began to fall in that place, those that were outside, those that were on the street, they begin to take notice something's happening up there. Something's going on. And they started gathering around. And suddenly here come the disciples full of the Holy Ghost. And Peter starts preaching. 3,000 were saved before supper. Son. That's good. Son, that's good. It'll never happen without the Holy Spirit. It'll never happen without a people becoming willing to step aside until they're endued with power to seek the Holy Spirit. We have forgotten how to seek. We expect it to be given. And God says, "You want it? Seek me. When you seek me, you will find me." So there's that seeking that must be involved. You and I, reading his word, calling upon his name, all of a sudden, God begins to move past the problem. But there's a pressure that comes with that. And that's where we'll take up next week. But I want you to become hungry. God has given us one of the greatest gifts that's ever been given to a church. And we're wearing the shirt. This ministry is one of the greatest ministries. This time of year, people are ripe because they're thinking of the spooky. They're moving in that direction. And they come looking for the weird and the unimaginable. And what they find is the truth. And it hits them in the face. And then they come in to the prayer room begging for prayer. You don't get any better than that. I want to get saved. I want my life to change. I need victory. And they come in and they ask for it. We've been given one of the greatest gifts. But let me tell you something. Those that have worked in the prayer room, they understand. It's a hollow, dry place if it's not covered with prayer. You and I need to be praying for those doing the praying. We need to be lifting them up, that God's presence will hover in that room, that people will be drawn to pray, to seek God. You and I are the gate through which the Holy Spirit can pour Himself, that God can pour Himself onto the people that are coming, seeking, asking. Without it, there's other rulers of darkness. And we've been there when they walked into the house. Every place that God goes, Satan goes. God is there to bless. Satan's there to interrupt. You and I hold the key. Bow your heads with me, would you please? I know this has been a different message today. It's not the message I...